Bibles, if you would, to 1 John. 1 John, well, it's been 5 weeks since we've met. It's nice to meet again on Wednesday night. We'll continue our study here in 1 John. 1 John. We'll actually be starting reading in chapter 1, verse 5, and we'll read all the way to chapter 2, verse 9. This then is a message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now we see here in that text right there that God is light, which we looked at earlier in our study, means that he's holy. He's holy. And in him is no darkness, no sin. He's perfectly holy. He's pure, holy, and righteous. That's our God. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Again, remember, John's writing to born-again believers. And rejoice, you who are born again, you who are a believer on the Lord Jesus Christ. We have an advocate. The Scripture plainly declares here we have an advocate. And his name is Jesus Christ the righteous. Every believer can say, the Lord Jesus Christ is my advocate. He's my advocate with the Father. He's the propitiation for the sins of all his people, all the elect, from every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation, which is indicated in verse 2 with the word world in verse 2. And he is the propitiation for our sins and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. All the elect that are in the world. And the next four verses will be our text this evening. It says here, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought also so to walk even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. Now in chapter 1, the Apostle John has told us that God is light. And if we walk in that light, which is the light of God and the light of his word, and the light of truth, and that's in Christ, then we have fellowship with the Father. Then we have fellowship with the Father through the Son. And again, the Son is called light in the Scripture. You notice, as we study this epistle, that John is bringing forth, as we go through this epistle, you'll notice that John is bringing forth the difference between the reality of being saved by Christ and one who has a mere profession. And we're going to see that evidently through this. We already saw it in chapter 1, didn't we? We already saw it clearly in chapter 1. Well, John continues this vein, and while he's continuing this vein, he's reassuring believers that we know God. And he shows us how we can know that we know God. And it's absolutely wonderful. So he's differentiating again those who are in Christ and those who have made a mere profession of Christ. And here contrasts between again the fact of one being saved and one being delivered, or the one who is deceiving themselves. Because really, someone who makes a profession is merely deceiving themselves. They're deceiving themselves. Let's turn to a few passages in John where we see or actually in this book, 1 John here, we see dealing with this. In the 6th verse of chapter 1, John has been speaking of those who walk in the light and have fellowship with God. Then he speaks of the false professor. Look at verse 6 of chapter 1. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. The person is self-deceived. Now think of all the people in this world who have made professions or prayed a prayer or walked in aisle, beloved. Think of that. Think of that. As opposed to those who are truly born again by the Holy Spirit of God. Then we see a contrast with a real believer in verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. The true believer, the true born again believer, is cleansed from all their sin. This is the most wonderful news that a sinner can hear. Most wonderful news that a sinner can hear. In our text, in verse 3 of chapter 2, he speaks of those who know Christ. Look at this. And hereby we do know him that we know. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And then he transitions again to a mere professor in verse 4. Look at. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. See again. We see the contrast being brought forth by the Apostle John. In verse 9 and 11 of this chapter, John again marks the divide between true believers and mere professors. Look at verse 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. So a person who says they love Christ but hate the brethren, they're deceiving themselves. Because the Scripture plainly says that they're in darkness. They don't know the Lord. No matter what they say. No matter what they say. So a person who hates the brethren is not a believer. And this Scripture plainly brings that forth. Because he who hates the brethren is still in darkness. And now note the contrast in verse 11. As the true believer loves the brethren. Verse 10. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. And there is none occasion of stumbling in. He who loves the brethren reveals a work of grace in their heart. That's evidence of a work of grace, beloved. For the love of the brethren is of God. You know, loving the brethren is not a product of man. Think, before you were saved, did you love the brethren? No, I didn't want to be around them at all. Did you love the gospel? No, I didn't want to hear it at all. Did you love the Bible? No, I didn't even want to read the Bible. It sat collecting dust somewhere. I didn't even have one on my nightstand. My dad had one on his nightstand, and none of us even cracked the Bible open. We were good Catholics, though. Right? But we never cracked the Bible open. It was sad. You know, and when I did crack it open, I just to look at the pictures that we kept in there. It was very sad because the Bible is the Word of life. It speaks of Christ. It speaks of Christ. It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. Go over to chapter 4. Look at this in chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Again, he who loves the brethren it's not a product of our nature, because in our natural state we do not love the brethren. It's a product of God. It's the Holy Spirit working in us. Look at verse 7 of chapter 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. And I can honestly say that in my natural state I did not love the brethren. And I know it's so for every believer. And now that we're born again, now that we're saved, we love the people of God. Because the Lord saved them just like he saved us. We're all saved by the same grace. And the same mercy. And we're all saved by the same Savior, aren't we? The Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to spend eternity together. Love does not lead to sin, as hate does. You ever think of that? Hate leads to sin. Love doesn't lead to... lead to sin, as hate does, but love is the rule of life and produces obedience. What is it that constrains us from sin? The love of Christ. The love of Christ constrains us from sin. So what does hate do? Hate produces the opposite of love, doesn't it? Hate produces division, envyings, jealousy, strife, and rebellion. The complete opposite of love. Because when you love the brother, you esteem your brothers better than yourself. That's what Scripture tells us to do, right? And we love. We're not jealous of the gifts that the Lord gives certain people. And well, I'm not jealous of that. Not at all. And there's not, when you love the brethren, there's not envy and there's not strife, there's not division. You're one in Christ. Why are we here, beloved? For the furtherance of the gospel. Let us always remember that. We gather together for the furtherance of the gospel. And that's what we're here for in Alma. For the gospel to go forth. And the Holy Spirit does what He wills with the preaching of the Word. And we rejoice, don't we? We rejoice. Turn, if you would, over to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Look what Paul pens over here in Romans chapter 13. He pens that love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Look at this in Romans chapter 13, verses 8 to 10. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other command, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then look at the next verse. Love worketh no ill. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Well, who's loved like no one else? Who fulfilled the law in our place? The Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. But this is wonderful here. Oh my. Let's go back to 1 John and we'll look at chapter 2. Look at verse 11. We see John bringing forth that if one hates the brethren, then they are unregenerate. And they walk in darkness. They're unregenerate and they walk in darkness. No matter what they profess. No matter what they profess. If they hate the brethren, they are not born again. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Now go over to John, 1 John chapter 4. Again, we see the contrast between a true believer brought forth in 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. Look at verse 20. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? Nothing can be more contradictory than for a man to say, I love God, and hate his brother. It's nothing but a lie that he speaks. And this is a thing that is impossible for a child of God. A man cannot love God and hate the image of God before his eyes. Look at verse 21. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. You see the contrast? So again, another argument for brotherly love is drawn from the authority and commandment of our Lord Jesus Christ. He not only commanded us concerning the love of the Father, but commanded us to love one another. Now I want us to take note of one word in verses 3 and 6. This is the word no. No. Now we know this is speaking of knowing God, the Father. As John has brought forth, that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And John wrote of hell having fellowship with the Father through Christ in the first chapter. And we know that the only way we can have fellowship with the Father is in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way we can know the Lord Jesus Christ is that the Holy Spirit reveals Him to us. Otherwise, we don't know Him at all. Look at verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandment. Hereby John writes in light of everything he said beforehand. Knowing that God is light, knowing that our God is merciful, knowing that our God is faithful, knowing that He's a just God, knowing if we confess our sins, who we are and what we are, that He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. Knowing all these things, hereby we know that we have an advocate, a propitiation. A propitiation. If we didn't know we had an advocate, beloved, if we didn't know we had a propitiation before God, we'd be in despair. We'd be in utter despair. Utter despair. But God has revealed to His people, those who are born again by the Holy Spirit of God, He's revealed to us that we have an advocate. He's revealed to us that we have a propitiation for all our sins before God. And He's revealed to us that His name is Jesus Christ the righteous. We know that, don't we? And we rejoice. We rejoice. So He's writing in verse 3, and hereby do we know. Well, we know those things because God has shown us those things. We didn't know anything about that before the Lord saved us. But oh my, now we know. We know now. Hereby, through Christ, we know we have salvation and the forgiveness of all our sins. Now let's read verses 4 to 6. And observe the word know again in verse 5. It's the same Greek word that's used in verse 3. He that saith I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily or truly is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. Same Greek word there. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked. Now the Greek word used there in verses 3, 4, and 5 is the word gnoska. Gnoska. And the meaning of the word is this: to learn, to know, to come to know, get a knowledge of, perceive, feel, to become known, to know, understand, perceive again, have knowledge, to become acquainted with, to know. And again, you've heard me mention this word before. It speaks of the intimacy with the Father, of knowing that we have a personal relationship with the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ, and only through the Lord Jesus Christ, a personal knowledge of Him. Not just knowing some things about Him, but the believer knows Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now turn to chapter 5 of this book and look at verse 13. The believer knows some things that they did not know before the Lord saved them. And we know these things to be true now. Now the Scriptures declare that God is sovereign, but do you know Him who is sovereign? Do you know God? The Scriptures declare that God is faithful and just, but do you know Him who is faithful and just? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ personally? Has He revealed Himself to you? Because God's people, oh my, He's revealed Himself to us. We know Him. We know Him. Look at verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. So God's people believe on Christ. They believe on Him. They don't just merely profess to know Him, right? They believe Him. They believe on the Son. that ye may know ye have eternal life. And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now the Greek word know here in verse 13 is a different Greek word for know. The Greeks were amazing at that. They had different words, four or five different words sometimes for one word. But this word is idol in the Greek. Idol. And it means, listen to this, it means to perceive with the eyes. To perceive with the eyes. To perceive, notice, discern, discover. Oh my, to turn the eyes, the mind, the attention to anything. So think of that. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God, to perceive with your eyes. And we know that's speaking spiritual eyes, eh? Right? To notice, to discern, to discover. Well, He's been revealed to us. To turn the eyes, the mind, and the attention to. Who's the object of our faith? Who's the one we look to no matter what? The Lord Jesus Christ. The Son. The Son. It's all by God's divine power. Now let's turn back to chapter 1. And consider these verses in light of what we just looked at with that word there. Those two words. Look at this in verses 1 to 3. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now think of that over there. I'll read that verse in chapter 5 again. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. So John is setting forth Christ. He's setting forth the Son. And he's writing this book so that God's people know that we have eternal life. And how do we know? Are we trusting Christ and Christ alone? Oh my. Now John saw the Lord Jesus Christ face to face, didn't he? But we see Christ by faith. We look to Christ by faith. It's Christ who we look to now. We were once blind again to the things of God. We were once blind to the things of God. God, we were blind to God Himself at one time. Ask yourself, would you have been sitting in church tonight if you were still in your natural state? I wouldn't be here. I'd have no desire to be here. But God's people want to be here, don't we? We want to hear the Lord. We want to hear the gospel. We desire to hear the things of Christ and learn the things of Christ. And we desire through the preaching of the word to look to Christ. To look to Christ. And so with eyes of faith, we look to the Savior. We look to the Father. We who have been taken from darkness to light. And how have we been taken from darkness to light? We're born again of the Holy Spirit of God. Transformed from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's Son. It's a miracle, beloved. It's an absolute miracle. And what are the things spoken of in verse 13 of chapter 5? These are the things concerning salvation. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Some of the things we know is that we have salvation in Christ and Christ alone. And these are not written just to encourage us as believers, but to encourage sinners to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to come to Him, that they might be saved. And it gives the believer confidence and assurance, doesn't it? In this world of woe. Vicki and I were talking about how this world is a world of sorrow. Do you know that we're the only sorrow we're experiencing is in this world? There'd be no sorrow and glory, beloved. There'd be no tears. The only pain that we experience will be here. There's no pain in glory. These old bodies that the back goes out and different things happen to us, there'll be none of that in glory. No, we have glorified bodies. Oh my. It'd be amazing. It'd be absolutely amazing. So daily, beloved of God, we are to come to Christ, aren't we? We're to come to Christ daily, to seek Him, to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how is our faith confirmed? How is our faith increased? Well, by having the person and the work and the office and the power of Christ explained to us, preached and proclaimed to us again and again and again and again. And we love it, don't we? Tell me about Christ. Tell me about the one who died as my substitute on Calvary's cross. Tell me about what He's done. Tell me that I have the forgiveness of all my sins through Christ and Christ alone by the shedding of His precious blood. This is marvelous. Wonderful news. Tell me that my Savior is victorious and that He's risen and that He's seated at the right hand of the Father right now interceding for me and if you're a believer for you. It's wonderful. Tell me more and tell me more and keep telling me. Keep telling me because that's all I want to hear is about my Savior. Oh, it's wonderful. God's preachers don't tell you what you have to do. God's preachers tell you what's been done by Christ alone. It's all done. The work is finished. And He right now is ruling and reigning over all things visible and invisible. And eternal life is found nowhere but in Christ. Nowhere but in Christ. Absolutely nowhere but in Him. And God's people are assured as Christ is preached and salvation in Christ alone is preached and proclaimed, we are assured of the salvation that we have in our great God and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we are told through the preaching of the Word that this marvelous, wondrous grace which comes to us in and through Christ alone is all from a gift from God and all according to the mercy of God and the grace of God. Never, ever forget that. You are saved by grace according to the mercy of God. In Christ. Never forget that. Never forget. I was thinking about that in study today as I was looking at Deuteronomy 6 for Sunday morning. And I was sitting there in the study and I thought, it just came to my mind. I used to hear Henry preach it all the time. And I never forget the rock you were hewn from. And then it came to my mind, don't forget the pit that the Lord pulled you out of, Wayne. Oh my. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget the pit you were in. Because you couldn't get yourself out of that pit. Just like I couldn't get myself out of the pit I was in. But by the grace of God, the Lord took us out of it. Oh my. And that pit, I like what Jeremiah says, that pit was like a miry pit. And they used to throw people into these pits. And they had water and stuff in there too. Or when it rained, it'd get all miry. And if they tried to climb out, they'd just slide right down. That's the kind of pit we were in. In our natural state. Now, sometimes we try to clean up, right? I admit it. Sometimes, oh Lord, forgive me. Please, I'll never do that again. And what happened? The next 2-3 nights later, I'm doing the same thing again that I was doing when I didn't know Christ. I didn't know God. Trying to climb out of that pit on my own. By something I did. Oh, I'm going to be good. And then maybe God will show favor to me because I'll be doing good. The only way God shows mercy to us and grace to us is in and through Christ and Christ alone. That's the only place. That's the only place. And so when we hear about the great substitutionary work of Christ that He's wrought out for His people, that salvation, that He's obtained eternal salvation for us, oh, it gives us such assurance. It gives us such confidence in Christ and Christ alone. Oh, it's wonderful. So think of this in light. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. But keep your finger in 1 John because we'll be going right back there. We'll not be going too much out of this book tonight, but a couple times here we'll be going to John chapter 17. And then actually, keep your finger there in John, because we will be going back to chapter 13 after we go back to 1 John. Look at this here, though. Think of this in light of our Lord's high priestly prayer. Let's look what he says here in verse 1 to 3 in John chapter 17. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. What an incredible statement there in verse 2. He gives eternal life to as many as the Father's given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou sent. Remember the Greek word there? Remember the Greek word, gnosko? Same word. Same word right there in John 17:3, beloved. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, in Jesus Christ whom thou sent. How do we know him in an intimate way? Because he's revealed himself to us, beloved. Isn't that marvelous? Same Greek word, beloved. That's, with that in mind, let's go back to 1 John chapter 2. But again, put your finger in John 13, because we'll be going there shortly. 1 John chapter 2, verses 4 to 6. Again, we'll read that again with that in mind. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily or truly, is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him himself, also so to walk, even as he walked. Now take note of these three verses here before us, and we know that the person who says, I know and am acquainted with Christ and the saving interest, if a person who professes that, say a person professes, oh, I have a saving interest in Christ, but again has no love for his teaching or his commandments, then they're lying, beloved. They're lying. And the truth of the gospel is not in him. That's what is being brought forth here. We see that in verse 4, if a person professes to believer and to be a believer and has no love for the Word of God and no love for the commandments of God, then you can be sure they're a liar, beloved. And the truth's not in them. God's people love the Word of God. We love it. Now, did we love it before we were saved? No. No. Every time I looked at the book, I've told you many times, it's just paper and ink to me before the Lord saved me. But now it's wonderful. These are words of life. When I read that all my sins are forgiven in Christ, it just makes my heart leap. Does it yours? But I didn't know those things before I was born again. Turn, if you would, to John 13 now. John 13. Our Lord's commanded us that we are to love the brethren. And look at that. We see this over here. We see this over here in John 13. I hit on that earlier. And we're gonna see more of that as we go through this book. John, that's something John really stresses as we go through this book. The love of the brethren. The love of the brethren. Look at this in John chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you, ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you. Now this is the Lord speaking. This is our Master speaking. That ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Because remember, love is the opposite of hate, beloved. And love will not produce strife. And love will not produce division. And love will not produce envy and jealousy. love. The love of God produces a love for the brethren, a love for the gospel. Oh, it's all new. It's all new. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this, now look at this. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have loved one to another. My, what a verse. And this is one of the main things that John's bringing forth in this epistle, that God's people love one another. As one old preacher of old said, we love God's people, warts and all. It's true. Faults and all. Right? We all got faults, even if we don't think we do. We all got faults. Every one of us. We all got them. But we love God's people. And the believer in Christ is a new creature. They're a bond slave of Christ. They've been bought with a price. And the price is the precious blood of Christ. And their whole life and desires is to become more deeply and personally acquainted with Christ. Do you want to know Christ more? I do. Do you desire a deeper walk with Him? I do. Do you desire, when the gospel is preached, for Him to reveal Himself to you more and more? Yes, we do, don't we? And that's why the gospel preacher, he just keeps chiming that bell. Christ. Christ and Him crucified, beloved. Oh, we desire to know Him. Take note here and take note here again. In verse 5, but whosoever keepeth His word, in him verily or truly is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. So through the preaching of the word of God, through the preaching of the gospel, which points us to Christ, we who believe, we hunger and thirst after righteousness, don't we? And how is that hunger and that thirst for righteousness? How is that fed? Through the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Preach to me Christ. Tell me what He's done for me. For me. We desire, as Scripture says, the sincere milk of the Word, don't we? The sincere milk of the Word. A man or woman who says they love Christ and has no desire for the gospel and no desire for the Bible is deceiving themselves. They're deceiving themselves and the truth is not in them. And all we have to do is look back to our natural state when we had no desire for the Word of God. Again, verse 5, but whosoever keepeth His Word, in him verily or truly is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. John brings forth here before the saints, he's writing to, about the union that they have in Christ. Right in this verse. A union. Hereby know we that we are in Him. Oh my. So John is bringing this forth. And this is written a lot. This fact is written about a lot in the New Testament. This is not being in Christ just by a mere profession, but being in Christ as He's our head. We're the body. He's the vine. We're the branches. He's the head again, and we are the body. The man or woman who's in Christ will love His Word, love His gospel, and love His people. That's been very evidently set forth tonight. And always remember, Now remember this too, you who are in Christ. Always, always, always remember that you are in Christ by the grace and mercy of God. That's the only reason. That's the only reason. It's God who has made it so if you're in Christ. You're born again by the Spirit of God. You're granted faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ according to the will of God. It humbles us, doesn't it? It humbles us. Again, we're taken from darkness to life. We're taken from the pit that we're in to the glorious light of the gospel, beloved. Oh my! And it's all by God's sovereign, almighty hand. And it's because it pleased Him to do so. That's really the thing that tops it right off, isn't it? Not only are we saved by the almighty sovereign hand of God, which in itself is absolutely amazing, but we're saved because it pleased God to save us. My. Look, it says, He that abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked. The believer in Christ, who says he or she loves Christ, ought to walk as Christ walked. Love. In love. In love. Forgive as Christ forgave. Just let things go. You know why? Because without Christ, we can do nothing. Can do nothing. I'll close with this from John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. We can't produce no fruit of the Spirit, can we? Nope. Except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. It's God who works it in us. Right? Joy, peace, love. For without me, oh, this is the kicker right here. For without me, you can do nothing. That's the truth right there. Praise be to God for all He's done for us.